Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Since today's Father's Day, I actually want to begin by something the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. This is what he wrote. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. What is Paul telling us here? What is he trying to say? He's telling us that there's something unique about a father. And he's not talking about biology. Hear me now. He ain't talking about biology. He's referring to a man who follows Jesus. He's specifically telling us that a true father is more than just someone who holds that title or position in your life. He is more than just the guy that keeps a roof over your head, although there's value in that. Understand, there is value in that. But the Apostle Paul is saying that a father in the faith is someone who has seen and done some things in the Lord, because Jesus has done something in them. He has allowed the word of God to change him so that he can be an influencer among others. That's what the Apostle Paul's talking about when he says there's not many fathers in the world. There wasn't many then, and there's not enough now. We need more men that are like the Apostle Paul's describing. You see, Paul is talking about a father in the faith. But my friends, today's message is not just for the men. Women now, come on, don't tune me out. What I have to share with you today is for you too. Because you see, if any of us, man or woman, is ever going to fulfill our God-given purpose in this life, it's going to require a relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Well, Brother Ray reminded us of that in our Friday night men's event. By the way, you missed it. It was so good. But the other thing, in addition to that beginning of relationships, is relationship with Christ, is we have to have faith in Jesus, right? We have to have faith in him. But faith is just the beginning. Faith is just the beginning. The Bible tells us, it goes on to say, that you need to be able to work out your faith or work out your salvation. And part of what that means is really what I want to bring you today. It means that we have to allow Jesus to heal the hurts and the wounds in our life. That's a big part of what it means to work out your faith. You got to let Jesus help you with your stuff. Listen, we all got stuff. We all got wounds, both past and present, right? We have wounds both past and present. Some of those wounds may be self-inflicted, let's be honest, and some aren't, right? Some are maybe the result of our own sin, of our own crazy mistakes. I mean, let's just tell what it is. And then some of our wounds may really have just come from somebody else. We had nothing really to do with it, but it happened. It's part of life. Either way, we have to allow Jesus to help heal those hurts, to help heal those wounds, if we're ever going to live the life that God planned for us to live. It's so important. You see, and this, hear me now, every wound needs to be healed. Because what happens when a wound isn't healed? It gets infected. It gets nasty. It gets, one way or another, that wound is going to hurt you if you don't get it healed. One way or another, that my wounds are going to hurt me if I don't get them healed. Do you hear me? Yeah. This is important. You see, if you let them go unaddressed for too long, it can end up stopping you right where you're at. And I've seen so many people, and I've even been in places in my life like this as well, where you can get stuck in your pain. You can get stuck in your pain. Do you see why we have to let Jesus heal our wounds? You know, for many years, I don't know what's going on with the feet in our family. Pastor Karen's got some foot issues right now that she's getting healing for. But for years, my feet, I actually had quite a bit of pain in my feet. But for a while, I would say for you know, maybe a year or so, it never got too bad where I said, I can just live with it. Yeah, so I just live with it. Well, then about 3 months ago, the pain on my left foot, it just got, I literally could, when I got out of bed in the morning, I could hardly walk on it. And that, so that pain started to impact my life in a significant way. I couldn't run around, catch the grandkids. I couldn't, you know, go play golf, which I enjoy doing. And all this time, Pastor Karen kept telling me, you really need to go see a podiatrist. You know, you might want to consider going to the doctor. Finally, I went. Now, I wasn't expecting what the doctor told me. When I got in there, looked at my feet, did his thing, and said, well, you know, really, I can help solve this for you. You know, I can give you a plan that's going to get your feet where they need to be. But it's going to take commitment on your part, and it's going to take some follow-through on your part. You're going to have to do your part in this, but I can help you with this. So I diligently did everything that he said to do. I followed that treatment plan, and after about 2 or 3 days, my feet were already starting to feel, I mean, significantly better. It's like, wow, okay, I didn't know this was possible. And after a month, I was completely pain-free. Completely pain-free. Like, wow. But let me say this. There were some times during that treatment plan, that's why I always take Pastor Karen to the doctor with me. Yeah, make sure you take people with you. There were times she had to remind me, you know, you're supposed to be doing that right now. You're supposed to go, you know, take that medicine. So she kept me encouraged, on track, accountable. And because, let's be honest, there were times that it wasn't convenient. There were times that I really want to go do that right now. I'm in the middle of watching ESPN or, I mean, whatever, right? But she kept me accountable. She kept me encouraged. In fact, there would be times that she would say, hey, let me check out your feet. Let me see how they're doing. And she said, wow, they're getting so much better. I mean, just that encouragement kept me motivated to stay in the plan. And I remember just a few weeks ago, I just looked at her and I said, babe, why did it take me so long to do this? My feet have never felt better in my life. I mean, why did I wait? Knowing what I know now, I would never have waited, right? Knowing what I know now, I would never have waited. And there's a few things that impressed me or were impressed upon me about that healing process. The first thing was that I had to recognize I needed help and I needed to know who to get to help me. That was step one. Until I finally, there's a saying, until you get tired of being sick and tired, you generally don't do stuff, right? Well, I was sick and tired of my feet hurting. And finally, I recognized, dude, come on. Get some help for this. And then I found the right person to help me, right? Podiatrists, what do? They specialize in the treatment of feet. The second thing that I had to do was I had to trust this podiatrist, right? I had to trust the one who was going to help me. I had to trust that this guy went to medical school. I had to trust that this guy actually knew what he was doing. Right? I mean, I was putting my feet in his hands, literally. So I had to trust that this guy could actually bring healing, right? That he was going to give me the right things to do. Third thing I needed someone to walk in the process with me. Someone to help keep me encouraged. Someone to help keep me accountable. Someone, hey, this is a treatment plan. Get back on it, right? And the fourth thing is I just had to believe that I could be healed. Right? I had to actually believe that the plan was going to work. Because otherwise, why go through the other three things? If in the back of my mind I go, nah, this ain't going to work, then I would have never done the first three. Right? So I actually had to believe that the plan was going to work. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Remember, we're big on bringing your paper Bibles here. So if you have your paper Bibles, show me you got them. Come on. We're going to be in Luke chapter 17. We'll have it on the screen for you as well. For those of you that, you know, memorized and don't need to bring your Bible to church. Okay, I get it. Pastor Karen reminds us all the time. What happens if the internet goes down? Come on now. All right, here we go. We're going to be in Luke 17 and we'll be in verses 11 through 19 today. This is what it says. On the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were what? Cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus, my friends, was on his way to Jerusalem. In fact, this story occurred near the end of his ministry. And he intentionally entered this village of lepers. Now, this is significant for a couple reasons. First, leprosy was highly contagious. Some of you may remember that or know that. And second, that meant anyone in this village had leprosy, right? They had been banished to this village. So one, they were all infected, but there was something else going on. Leprosy was a death sentence. So not were they all only, they were all infected, but they were all dying straight up. Some slower than others. The disease had progressed and some faster than others, but they were all dying straight up. And this is why when someone was found to be infected, they were banished to these leper colonies or villages, away from their families, away from their friends, away from their church, away from everything that mattered to them. And Jesus knew this, but he went in anyway. My friends, Jesus always knows what you need and when you need it. First thing you need to remember, Jesus always knows what you need and he knows when you need it. These lepers were outcasts. People were afraid to even be around them because they were afraid that they might get sick too. So everyone in that leper's village was sick. But I want you to remember this. Their illness was more than skin level. They were hurting. They were wounded from shame, loneliness, abandonment, rejection. Just think of yourself banished to this village. Yes, it started as this patch of disease on your skin, but it would go much deeper than that. There's a lot of hurt going on, a lot of scars, a lot of wounds. And I don't know how many people, it doesn't say in the word, how many people were in this leper village, but we do know that 10 had just enough hope and just enough faith when they saw Jesus that they cried out. Now, it says they cried out from a distance, right? Sometimes we cry out to God from a distance, don't we? We think we're too messed up, we're too unholy, and we, you know, no. But that's what was going on here. So they knew Jesus could help them, or they believed Jesus could help them. They had hope, but they were still kind of at a distance. But Jesus goes and meets people right where they're at. That's why Jesus didn't stay on the other side of the border and say, "Okay, I see you all over." No, Jesus went in and met them right where they were. Right where they were. So you see, the lepers exhibited that same first step that I took. They recognized their need for healing. That's our first step too, my friends. If you want healing of your wounds, of your hurts, first thing you got to do is recognize that you need healing. That's where it starts. Now listen, sometimes that's hard to do, especially for us as men. We want to handle things ourselves. It's easy to think, and sometimes we think that asking for help is a sign of weakness. That somehow it makes us less of, less than. And that's exactly what our enemy wants us to think. He wants to keep us isolated. He wants to keep you banished in your shame, in your guilt, in your pride. We say things like, "I don't need anyone. I don't even need healing, man. There's nothing wrong with me." Mm-hmm. My friends, that's arrogant. The word says that all have sinned. So if you've sinned, by definition, you got issues. If you've sinned, by definition, you have some wounds that need to be healed. Everybody does. Men, women. This message for you too. I'm just talking to the men for a minute because we seem to have more of an issue with step one sometimes than the women do. Let me give you an example of how easy that is to happen. You know, when a child is raised to hide their feelings, maybe a young boy is told something like, hey, suck it up, boys don't cry. Or maybe we have a child that has strong emotions and they're punished for it. That can create wounds. And those wounds can carry on into adulthood if they don't ever get healed. Now listen, I can't really speak for women because I'm not a woman, but I know human beings. So what I'm going to say now about men, I think definitely can apply to some women as well. But what that can lead to, what I certainly have seen in men and even in myself sometimes, it looks like the inability to express emotions. That's one of the hurts or the wounds that come with stuff like that. Or we just, and because that happens, sometimes we just bottle things up. And then what happens, like the volcano, anger just comes out because we haven't learned how to healthily express those emotions, how to deal with those wounds, even in childhood and from childhood. The truth is, my friends, we all have wounds, and only Jesus can really heal them. At the end of the day, only Jesus can really truly heal our wounds. So the first thing is we got to admit that we need the help. That's the first thing, and then we run to Jesus with it. Jesus is the greatest physician that ever was, ever will be, period. There's nothing he can't heal. In Matthew chapter 11, in fact, Jesus says, come to me, all who are burdened, and I actually give soul to your rest to your soul. In other words, Jesus is saying, when you have these burdens, when you have these hurts, when you have these wounds, come to me. He's inviting us to come to him. Here's the thing. Healing doesn't come, though, just by recognizing that we have a need for it. We have to be willing to trust the process in our healing. Hear me now. Can Jesus, when we say heal, yes, he can heal somebody in an instant, but then we have to walk out the healing, right? We still have a part to play in our healing. So we have to understand how we're in this partnership with God. There's things that only God can do, and then there's things he's asking us to do. And in our healing, we do have a part to play. We do have a part to play. We have to trust that Jesus knows what we need, because he knows what we need better than we do, right? And so that really then kind of leads to that second step in the healing process, which is that we trust that Jesus can heal us, and then we do what he says. You see, a lot of us don't have a problem with the first part of that. Okay, I'm going to trust Jesus. Oh, but wait a minute, there's some things I need to go do. Or I have a part in this. It's the second part that we tend to struggle with, right? You notice in this story, Jesus didn't actually touch any of the lepers. He did not physically touch any of them. He didn't do anything other than speak to them and give them some very specific instructions on what to do, right? We got to get out of this mindset that it's, you know, Jesus is genie in the bottle. He's just going to fix it all, and I don't have to do anything, and I'm just, no, wait, we're talking about salvation now. Yeah, Jesus, it works that way in salvation. But when living out your life, we have a part to play. We have a part to play. That's how it works. There are plenty of stories in the Bible, specifically when Jesus did miracles, where he said, okay, I'm going to do this, and now you go do that, right? Just very similar to what we just read. Remember that. Jesus told these lepers, go and show yourself to the priests. And when you look at it, on the surface, that doesn't really make sense, right? Like, how is walking away from Jesus actually leading to their healing? Just on the surface, right? He said, y'all go start walking. Y'all go find the priest. Now, just contextual history for you just for a minute. The reason he told him to go see the priest is the priest was the one who could certify that they were actually healed, right? And once he certified that, then they would be back into society. So in one sense, it kind of made sense, but maybe they were wondering, wait a minute, because remember Jesus, this is toward the end of his ministry. So by now they would have already heard of him, right? That's why they said master. They actually knew who Jesus was, mainly because of the stories, right? Because they couldn't have seen him himself. They were in a leper colony, but they'd heard about the other healings and things that Jesus had been doing, which is one reason why they believed he could heal them. But they'd probably heard about the man, the blind man who he'd put mud on his eyes or different ways that Jesus actually touched people and healed them. And they must have been wondering, I wonder why he isn't doing that with us. All he said was start walking. Go show yourself to the priests. Jesus wanted to see if they had enough faith to trust him and to do what he said. That was their first test. All right, you guys want healing? Start walking. That's what he said. And they did. They had enough faith. Well, if this guy says walk, I guess I better walk. I may not understand why I'm walking yet. All I know is I got a destination with the priest. And Jesus said, go see him. So I'm going to go do it. Now think about that. Not only did it not make sense, probably for those lepers, but they were walking back to a place that had banished them. Number one, there's a good chance that the very priest they would end up meeting was the one that banished them to that colony to begin with. In addition, they're going back to their friends, their neighbors, all of them who knew that they had been banished, who knew that they had leprosy. So they're going back to that environment. It can be kind of scary, right? Listen, when you have a wound in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, you're going to have to go back to that place that caused it. At some point, you're going to need to go back there to get healing mentally, but don't go back there by yourself. Take Jesus with you, right? In a minute, we're going to talk about taking others with you, but don't go there by yourself. But you're going to have to go back and revisit what caused the wound to get healing. That's what these lepers were. They were headed back to the scene of the crime, so to speak, right? They wasn't a crime, but the scene that began their hurt. And sometimes you and I, to get healed of our wounds, we're going to have to go back to that place. We're going to have to go back to that place. And it's not going to be easy. Anyone who's walked that journey, it's not easy. And that's one of the reasons why we shouldn't go there by ourselves. Number one, we've already said, let's get Jesus on the journey. But remember, we were created to be in relationships with God and with each other. And this is where your biblical community is so important to walk with you. You see, the next step in the process is to allow someone else to walk with you in your healing. Pastor Karen did that for me. Notice how Jesus sent all 10 lepers together. He didn't say, all right, y'all, 10 of y'all just figure out what you know. He sent them off together. It's an example to us that there's power in community and that oftentimes Jesus will use and involve others in your healing. Not only will he's designed it that way in many, many cases. Because facing our brokenness is not easy. And walking through the healing process is even harder. Listen, this is a fundamental truth, this fact that Jesus created us to be in relationships. Now, we know in biblical communities how important it is, but this principle, you even see it in the world. How many people have heard of the 12 steps, right? Some of you know, AA uses it. Well, those 12 steps are all about a support group, right? Where they assign you an accountability partner. That partner helps keep you motivated. It helps keep you checking in on you. So you see, even the world understands the power of community because it's a foundational truth. How much more should we in the church be utilizing that biblical truth? Because to be honest with you, the biblical, once you've accepted Jesus, that's actually your family that's walking through it with you now. The world, not necessarily, right? If you're not a believer, you're just hanging out with you know, people that have been through what you've been through. But see, there's even power in that. Just that alone, there's power. That's why these 12-step programs work generally, right? You see, you and I need people in that healing journey that will keep us accountable, that will keep us encouraged, especially when things get hard, and especially when we're walking out our healing in ways that don't make sense. God's going to ask you to do some things sometimes, my friends, that don't make sense. Is there anyone here that can testify that God's asked you to do things that just do not make sense sometimes on the surface besides me? It's just that, and when is that happening? Yeah, you got to go to God first and say, God, I don't know what's going on here. But oftentimes God will send others to help explain what's going on here, right? He'll send people to walk with you to help keep you encouraged even when you don't understand. Or when we have to face our past and it ain't pretty. Sometimes we got to face our past and it ain't pretty. We need people walking with us. There's people all around you, I promise, that God has strategically put in your path. You just have to recognize them, and you have to be intentional about reaching out to those trusted people to help you heal and to help you grow in your walk with Christ, so that one, you can be healed, but then so that you can help somebody else in their healing. Did you catch that? It's your healing. Everything with God is never just for you. Trust me, God's way more strategic than that. Yes, you're going to benefit from it, but your healing is meant not just for your own life. It's great, but he expects you to help other people in their healing then, right? The scripture says, give comfort to others with the same comfort you have received, is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You see, Jesus said, I have come to give you an abundant life, is what he said. He didn't come just to save you, yes, but he came to give you and I an abundant life. See, God's plan has never been for us to walk around wounded, rejected, addicted, and broken. That's never God's plan. It never was. We weren't created that way. So God is, hear me now, God is fully invested in your healing. God is invested in your healing. He sent his very own son for your healing. That is huge. That is so huge. God wants to heal you. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you prospering in your soul, as John wrote one time. He wants you prospering in your soul. God is a good father. He wants what's good for you. The great physician with healing in his hands. My last point that I want to share is this. And it's really important. You need to believe that there is nothing so broken that Jesus can't heal it. And you have to believe that he wants to heal it. Let me say that again. You need to believe with all your heart there is nothing so broken that Jesus can't heal it and that he wants to heal it. You see, one of the biggest reasons that people stay wounded is because we don't believe it can get any better. Or we just live with the status quo like I did with my feet for all those years. It's no big deal. Or we think that we don't deserve to be healed. If you notice, the only leper that came back to thank Jesus was a Samaritan. The other nine, by the way, were all Jews. There's only one, the Samaritan. And this story mentions that fact twice. Twice in the story we see Jesus called him a foreigner. Samaritan, same thing. And that's significant. You see, the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. In fact, so if you think about this man, he was an outcast among outcasts. That's how messed up he was in his own mind and heart. He was an outcast among outcasts. And yet, Jesus chose to heal him just like he did the nine, right? Jesus is making a point to show us that he's in the business of healing everybody. He's in the business of healing everybody. No one has gone too far that Jesus can't find you. Come on, yeah. That's something to be excited about. Listen, Stephen, if you'll come. Some of you are here today and you're hurting. You're in such deep pain and you want to be healed. But the enemy has been messing with you for so long, telling you things like it's your fault. Look at all you've done. You don't deserve to be healed. My friends, do not believe that lie. With everything in me, I'm telling you, do not believe that lie, because it is a lie, as my bride says, straight from the pit of hell. Jesus died to heal you, no matter what happened. I don't care if your wounds are self-inflicted. I care. It's not important to Jesus whether your wounds are self-inflicted. It's not important in the big picture whether they came from somewhere else. He wants to heal them all. He wants to heal them all, no matter where your wounds or your hurts, past and present, have come from. Jesus wants to heal you. And there's nothing you have done that Jesus cannot and will not forgive. Nothing. There's no regret, no shame, no guilt that Jesus cannot erase. There's no sin, there's no wound that is greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. None. None. All he asks you to do is to put your faith and your trust in him and then to walk it out. That's what he's asking you to do. Listen, don't waste another day. Don't even waste another minute trying to live. Just live with that wound in your soul. Quit living with it. Let's deal with it. Quit thinking it's just okay, it'll go away. No, it won't. No. There's a saying that says time heals all wounds. That's actually not true. The only thing that actually heals wounds is a healthy process to get them healed. Time alone, without these steps I've given you, will not heal. It may numb it. It may put it off. It may keep you from dealing with it. But time alone, my friends, will not heal your wounds. The devil wants to keep you in that mindset, in that bondage. Oh, nothing can be done. You deserve it. It's too late. You've gone too far. My friends, that's a lie. Jesus can heal you, and he wants to heal you. And the moment that you recognize your need for his healing is actually the beginning of your healing. Then pray, repent, obey his word, do what he says. You know, Psalm 119 says, God, your word is a lamp to my feet. This is why the word of God is so important in our healing, because the word tells you not just where to walk, but how to walk. Do you see why you have to have the word? If you want healing, you cannot do it absent or outside of God's word. It's not going to happen. You need to do what Jesus says to experience the full measure of his healing in your life. And then after you've done that, then get people to walk with you. Get some people to walk with you in that healing. Be vulnerable. Talk to people. Let someone help you stay accountable. Because when you're willing to work out your faith in that way, let Jesus heal you in that whole process. Heal you through that pain. Then your healing will come. Worship team, if you'll come as well. Would you just pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are. You are so faithful and you are so good. God, thank you for sending your one and only Son to die for every person in this room and every person that has ever lived or will live. Thank you for sending your Son to do that so that we can be free, so that we can be healed, so that we can be made new. And God, thank you for your word that shows us where to walk and how to walk. God, may what we've heard today, the power of your word, may it change us, may it inspire us, and may it heal us. In Jesus' name.